You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday edition. My guest today, Nick Winkler. We will go over the midseason award winners for the 49ers. Who have been the most valuable players, the biggest surprises so far in the 2020 season? This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, happy five-year anniversary from your appearance on The Price is Right.
Yeah, it was a big day today. My wife reminded me. She's like, does November 10th sound like a big day to you? And I was like, I don't think so. I don't know what you're talking about. But and then she reminded me with a big, because she's the one who got me on there. Like, it was all her. She got us priority tickets for my Father's Day and all this. So anytime I mention it, she'll always chime in with like, and I did it. I got us there. It was me.
Wow.
And she ended up with a whole bunch of shoes, right? That was one of your big prizes.
That was the biggest prize, yeah, that I won, were the Oscar de la Renta, the four pair of them that was like almost $3,000. It was ridiculous.
That's crazy.
But she's worn like four times in the last 5 years.
She owns them, though, and she can tell people.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, sometimes we'll go to a show in the city or something, like go see a play or something, and she'll throw them on, but yeah.
You don't want to get them dirty or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
you don't want to wear them too much.
They're $1,000 shoes.
You know, that's something that's really hard for me, because that happens a lot. You see people with their brand new white sneakers on, right? And they don't want to get them dirty. I was like, well, they're shoes, though. You know, they're the closest thing to, they keep you from the ground. And back in high school, I was at my friend's house. This is when the Barclays were out, and we were going to go play basketball or something like that. And all I had was Vans or Converse on or something like that. And I was like, hey, man, let me borrow some shoes. And he's like, oh, dude, I can't let you wear those. And I was like, those are my Barclays. Can't let you wear those. And I was like, they're basketball shoes. They're literally, right, that's what they are.
We're going to play basketball.
No, I don't. He barely wears them, let alone plays basketball in basketball shoes. Like, yeah, you know what? I do not understand that. I'm just going to go play in my Vans. And that was my first experience with sneakerheads. And I started to understand that vibe, which is not me at all.
Yeah, I think that fashion isn't really our thing, Brian.
Oh, it's definitely not my thing at all. And it's like, yeah, it's a tool of the trade. But people are like that with everything, like with guitars. There'd be people who would buy these super nice guitars and never play it. I'll never take it out of a case for a decade. I'm like, dude, I am going to destroy my guitar. I'm going to play the hell out of it, and is going to be beaten into submission. And I don't care. That's fine. You know, same with golf clubs. People with softball bats, they're like, wipe down their softball bats after the game, and they keep them like in this nice little trunk, and I'm like, dude, what, this is a bat. Like, you literally beat a ball with it. I just don't understand that. It's a tool of the trade for me.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many people are like, oh, I bought this, I'm just gonna keep it on the shelf, or oh yeah, I only use it like once a year. I'm like, but why? Like, what if it breaks, or like, what if someone steals it? Then you never even got to use it. Like, we buy it to use it, man. Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Yeah, my daughter got me those cool 49er Nike Airs. Or the Air Maxes.
Oh, yeah. Those are sweet.
Yeah, no, I immediately wore them, and they immediately got dirty. And I can't get mad because they're shoes.
Oh, they're shoes, yeah.
Yeah, and I wear them every day. Like, it's not a big deal.
The ones that say Winky on them, right?
They say Winky. Yeah, she wanted to put Winky Wednesday, but it didn't look good. It was too far, she said.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Wednesday was too big on the other one.
She's got the fashion gene. You don't.
Yes, definitely.
She gets it.
She got that from my wife. I don't have that.
let's talk a little football here. What do you say?
I guess.
Are you keeping tabs on this Kendrick Bourne situation as of late Tuesday when we're recording this?
Is he on it or isn't he?
He's on it, but there's been no, it was just like Kendrick Bourne is on the COVID reserve list, but there's been
but
no,
he was off of it.
And he was off. So there's been no information. So he tested positive last week before the game. Then his close contacts couldn't play as well. Right. Then everybody tested negative twice. So that means by Friday they were all able to be activated again. And so it looked like it was a false positive originally. And then he had two negatives. Then at some point over the weekend, apparently, but we don't know. We haven't even been told if it was a positive test. It's just like Kendrick Bourne's on the COVID reserve list. And we don't know until we hear from Kyle Shanahan Wednesday. And we're recording this Tuesday evening. So we don't have that information yet. And we haven't had any reports. And it's funny, all the articles about it is Kendrick Bourne is on COVID reserve now. Okay, but why? What happened? Yeah. You know, I don't like, this is a crazy story. So we'll find out later on this week. I was hoping to have some more information, but we do not yet. So that is what's going on there. But you have to expect maybe he's had some more close contacts. So is it going to affect other players that didn't test positive now again for the second straight week?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I guess the one way to look at it in a positive light is that the 49ers don't play on Thursday this week. So there's a little bit more time to kind of get this thing sorted out. But, you know, how frustrating must that have been for the 49ers and for, you know, for Deebo Samuel and Ayuk and these guys that may have been able to play on Thursday night and Trent Williams, you know, but and they're testing negative, you know, like Wednesday, and then they test negative on Thursday. It's like, nope, you still can't play, you know, like you got to sit out. And then it's like, okay, it's Friday. Okay, you guys are off now. You're sorry about that. You didn't really have it. We just had to be careful. Like, it's brutal. I mean, I get it. Player safety is super important. This is not a joke. This disease is serious. You know, like this virus, it's not something to be messed around with. It's just, you know, when you're playing football and the NFL could have very easily moved that football game, as they have done many, many times heading into this, into week 8 or week 9 last week. Like it could have easily been done and they didn't do it. And so it's got to be frustrating for the players, because I know it is for the fans.
Yeah. I can sense your frustration with that, Nick. And how about Brandon Ayuk? So he can't play. Yeah. And then the role he was supposed to have, Richie James gets it instead and goes for nearly 200 yards. And he's like, man, those were supposed to be my
targets.
Those
are my yards.
Yeah. That was supposed to be my breakout game. Instead it was for Richie James. So
he had to be frustrating there. For Nick Mullins too. I mean, he loses his left tackle and his number one wide receiver right before the game.
Like, and losing the left tackle turned out to be impactful. He felt that. Yeah. He felt that physically and mentally.
Yeah, no doubt about it. School got schooled multiple times. It was not pretty to watch.
So how about this for a question? What do you do if you're the 49ers? Because it's pretty clear that Trent Williams proved that he's worth some cash out there at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But the 49ers might not have a lot of space there. Like the salary cap in certain cases is kind of fictional, right? But then that's when it's at a level that keeps growing every year. If it goes down, now it's like, okay, what are we going to do here? Let's say the numbers work out to where you can sneak Trent Williams' contract in under the salary cap, but you can't sign anybody else. Like, can you do that? Is that worth it? That means Sherman's definitely gone in that case.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to try to pay Mosley and Verrett. Like, you got to pay some defensive backs. That would mean Tart is gone. There are some contracts coming up that it's going to be tough to figure out. And unless you move $25 million of Jimmy Garoppolo's salary,
you said it. That's it. That's the move, right?
Are you down with that move? Because I don't think you were able to say that earlier this season. Are you moving in that direction where you're okay non-Jimmy G in 2021?
I mean, I'll say it again. I like Jimmy G. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's good in the Kyle Shanahan offense. Is he the only person that could run the Kyle Shanahan offense? No. No, he's not. Is he worth $25 million? Doesn't look like it. Like, yeah, the guy's won some games, but is he the reason that the 49ers won those games? Because, you know, last season they were very healthy and they did extremely well when they were healthy. This season, not so healthy. I don't know. You look around the NFL, we touched on this last week. You know, you see these young mobile quarterbacks and it's like, I want one of those. You know, mm-hmm, like I want somebody that can step up in the pocket and not just, you know, get into their turtle shell anytime anybody gets near them. It's frustrating to sit here and say, you know, we're paying this guy $25 million. Is he still a top 10 paid quarterback? I mean, I know for a while he was number one, but that quickly went the opposite direction. So I'm sure he's still in that upper tier.
He's in the top 10 somewhere, but toward the bottom now, I think.
Right. But like, is he worth that? You know, is he that game changer? Is he that guy? I mean, this season, he hasn't really thrown the ball down the field. You know, it's a lot of the one great game he's had this season. He basically threw the ball to the line of scrimmage or behind it. And then the Yak brothers got out there and did their job. So it's hard to justify paying $25 million to a guy that, one, can't stay healthy. I mean, it sucks to say it, but you look at the grand scheme of things, you look at the big picture of his time in San Francisco, and he's missed a lot of football games. And you can't keep paying a guy $25 million to stand on the sidelines or to limp out there, you know, on a bum ankle. You just can't do it, especially when you need to sign a left tackle. You got to protect that blind side. And that left tackle is the most important spot on the offensive line. I want Trent Williams. I'd rather have Trent Williams than Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes.
Wow. Okay. There it is.
I don't want to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo if we don't have to. But if I had to pick between the two, I'm taking Trey Lance.
We've got to take a second. So let's play this out when we come back. And then, of course, we're going to give out our mid-season awards on today's show. I think some of them are pretty obvious, but I think some of them we can have some fun with next on Winky Wednesday. Taser is on a mission to help you protect yourself and your loved ones safely. That's the key, safely. When Taser founder Rick Smith was in high school, two of his friends were shot and killed because of an argument. Rick was devastated, but the tragedy inspired him to start Taser, a company that is dedicated to protecting people safely. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or your purse. Features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing, and Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with promo code NFL. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL, TASER.com. Again, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Nick, let's play this out a little bit. And I've talked about it a lot this week. We don't have to take up the rest of this podcast because I do want to get to some questions after our midseason awards. But if you play this out, you trade Jimmy G, you get whatever, a third round draft pick. Maybe you get nothing for him. Like whatever, you move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. So no Jimmy G and that $25 million off the books. Mm. If one of the big factors in moving on from Jimmy G is the money, so that means you have to go cheap at quarterback. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Are you just going to say, okay, let's hand it over to a rookie? Do you think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would do that as competitive as they are? Or what other options are there? Because then it's like, okay, well, it doesn't make sense to move on for Jimmy G because he makes $25 million. If you're going to pay $25 million to another quarterback who might be in the same realm as far as talent, you might as well just stick with your guy there. So two questions. One, what do you do there? Would you be cool with just handing it over to a rookie or a cheap veteran and letting that competition play out? And do you think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would?
I think that Kyle Shanahan would. Yeah. I think that Kyle Shanahan would go out there. He'd get a guy that he knows, you know, play. I mean, look at what the guy did. He went out and he brings in guys. What was the first guy he brought in? Who was his starting quarterback day one? I don't even remember.
Well, it was Brian Hoyer who brought
Brian
in.
Brian Hoyer, right? I mean, it's a guy that he knew could get the job done, right? He didn't do well. But that doesn't mean – but it was also Kyle's first, you know, jump in to being a head coach. I feel like
– Oh, the roster was awful that year too. I mean, that was a bad roster.
And I don't even know if they bring anybody in, right? I mean, maybe you go out and you draft a quarterback early and you keep around the guys you have right now and you let this guy sit behind him and you let him learn and maybe you take your lumps. And I'm not ready to give up on Nick Mullins yet. I really am not. I mean, he had his moments where he looks really good and he has his moments where he looks really bad. And let's get him out there with a bunch of talent around him and a left tackle that can protect him. And maybe he's your starting quarterback to begin next year. And you do draft a guy young and hope that he develops and plays at some point that season and then takes over. You know, what I mean, that's ideal, right? That's
right.
That's how you would go about it.
That's a big one. That's a big factor in being able to do that is if you thought you had a guy who's like, okay, he's a backup, we know, but he's going to be a bridge stopgap quarterback for a very short time and maybe no time if the rookie proves he's ready in training camp.
Sure.
But that would be the competitive player that you would start with. And that could be, I mean, there's Matt Schaub is out there. Hoyer still will want a job, I'm sure, next season. I don't know if he signed beyond this year for the Patriots. I don't think that would be a wise decision. There's the Case Keenums of the world. There's a lot of those types of players that Kyle Shanahan could turn to, and Nick Mullins could be one of them as well. And this is the Mullins opportunity. It was one of the big things I was hoping to see from Mullins is to prove that value of being the guy next year to maybe mentor a younger quarterback and compete there and push a rookie quarterback or to prove he has value to another team that wanted to use him in that way, and maybe you get a little mid-round draft pick for it. And you know, who knows? Maybe it's Sam Darnold that you're spending a pick on or a player that's still on a rookie contract that you think could compete. But there has to be some sort of competition. I just don't see the 49ers rolling at quarterback without a veteran player that they like to start week one if they have to, if the rookie is not ready. And I'm sure they think they have a Super Bowl roster when everyone's healthy to start the 2021 season, which makes me think that they're not going to do anything at quarterback that doesn't cost $25 million. In that case, it'll probably be Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just the way it looks right now. I can't see them handing it over to Mullins and a rookie. But maybe they can. And Mullins has an opportunity to prove he can do that the rest of the way.
What about like bringing in a guy? Because, like, you know, Josh Rosen went out and signed a 1-year deal, right? I mean, he'll probably be available. What about a guy like Dwayne Haskins, who's probably going to be out in Washington? Like a guy who's not necessarily a rookie, has seen some time in the NFL, and can come in and learn this sort of system. What do you think about something like that?
The only thing they've proven is that they're bad. So I don't know if that would be
bad systems for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, the same thing with Darnold. That's why I said Darnold would be cool, but in that same role that we were just talking about with Nick Mullins, where he's competing, but I'm not handing the job to any of those guys, and I wouldn't be comfortable with them being my week one starter. I can see it a little bit with Darnold because I've seen flashes. I haven't seen enough flashes from the other quarterbacks you mentioned. So I would assume that the Niners would probably go the veteran route if that were the case, more so than those guys, and try to bring in someone at a veteran minimum. You know, like Matt Schaub is the name that keeps coming up just because Kyle's had him before. And, you know, obviously it doesn't make anybody excited. Like that would, like, how terrible would that be if Matt Schaub was a 49ers starting quarterback in week one? Like that's the way you think about it. Who's the starting quarterback in week one next year that you feel better about, that you feel like you have a better shot to win than Jimmy Garoppolo? Like there's not a lot of names.
What about a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Fitz is a good one. That's a great one, actually. That's a really good name. And that's the exact type of quarterback you would need as a baseline, I think, to do exactly what the Dolphins did this year with their rookie quarterback and see how long he can hold off that rookie.
Or a guy like Tyrod Taylor.
How about this? Alex Smith.
Or Alex Smith.
I don't know what Alex Smith's contract situation. I'm pretty sure that the Washington
he has a couple more years.
I think they can get out of it though, and I'm sure they will because I think it's a pretty large salary at this point.
Okay. I don't know. I know that $25 million is a lot to pay, especially when you're going to come off a season like you're coming off of right now, and you've missed essentially two huge chunks of time in two of the last three seasons. It just seems like you can't pay a guy $25 million based on that. And I know the one season in between when he played the whole time, he led him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And they've won a lot of games. And Kyle Shanahan keeps talking about it. It's like, we win a lot of games when he's in at quarterback, and they have.
True. It's very true. And it's just a lot of money.
It's interesting. It's going to be a big decision. Man. Jameis Winston's another name that I've seen thrown out there.
I just say no to that.
I know. That's the thing. It's every name is like, So it's like they would have to be super cheap.
Yeah.
Actually, Fitzpatrick's probably the best name.
That's probably the best one. Of them.
And that's like that's his niche too right now.
Yeah. Would he want to do that again? I mean, if he knows he's going to be a starter week one, why not? He did mention how heartbreaking it was though. He's like, I thought this was my team, you know, and they just took it from me. Yeah.
And that's the problem and that's the thing is because you're not going to spend any resources on a guy that you're hoping doesn't start very many games.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough call.
Yeah. An interesting one. We'll talk more about that. We have plenty of time. Let's get into some of these midseason awards, shall we?
Dig it.
All right. Well, let's go with this. And I'll let you go first, Nick. Who is your MVP of the first half of the 2020 season for the 49ers?
It's got to be Fred Warner, right? I mean, the guy's in there every single play. The guy is proven to be, you know, the... I nailed it.
You hit it on the head. It's got to be Fred Warner, right? First of all, he's played every game. He's healthy.
Yeah, he's out there every single, leads the team in tackles. Like he's proven that he is the quarterback of that defense. And if you got to love the quarterback of the offense, you got to love the quarterback of the defense too, right? He's valuable. You see him every single play. They're getting their butts kicked last week, third, fourth quarter, and he's still out there playing like it's a tie ball game. You know, you got to love Fred Warner. He's definitely become the heart and soul of this football team.
I wonder what it'd look like if he was the quarterback of the offense too.
There you go. That could be week one next year.
I wonder, that's another thing is, and this is sort of one of the arguments, why are you paying a quarterback $25 million? I wonder how many players, like these guys are football players. They've thrown a ball millions of times in their lives. I'm sure a lot of them, especially the receivers throwing the ball back to each other. I remember Mohamed Sanu, he's like 5 of 6 in his career and a perfect passer rating and he could chuck it 70 yards down the field.
Right.
How many players on the 49ers could play a game, a full game at quarterback with that offense where they're not throwing the ball past the line of scrimmage anyway, right? The super gadgety offense. That would be fun just to see once. Like if there was some crazy game where and it would end up being
Mullins
like...
Yeah, and...
Yeah, like all their quarterbacks get hurt like in the first few plays of the game, something crazy like that. And they have to play somebody who's not a quarterback the entire game. They would probably do a lot of wildcat with McKinnon and Richie James. Richie James was a high school quarterback. Half of these guys were probably high school quarterbacks, but that would be fun just to see like who's got the arm and who would have the opportunity to actually throw the ball a little bit. That would be quite interesting.
Yeah. And who's the emergency quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question.
I wonder if it is Richie James.
Jerick McKinnon also, quote unquote, quarterback, but it was, you know, it was an option
at
Georgia Southern where he went. Wait, Georgia Southern? Is that where it was? Because McKinnon and Breida came from the same school, right?
This says that, this was a couple of years ago. It was Kyle Juszczyk was the third string quarterback.
Oh, Juice. Okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
I'm looking for anything recently here. Yeah, I don't see anything recently. But yeah, it looks like it for a while was Juszczyk for a couple of years.
Interesting.
What the heck? That's awesome.
Oh, that would be fun to watch. Anyway, Fred Warner, absolutely the team MVP so far this year. He's a stud. He's a superstar.
You love when a guy plays hard and he's good at football.
All right, we've got an MVP who's a defensive player. How about the offensive player of the year?
I think we saw it last week. When he wasn't in.
When he wasn't in, yeah. I was thinking there's not a lot of good candidates for offensive player of the year. I think Juice could be one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad call. I mean, you see it when Kittle's in there. He changes the game for sure, but he hasn't been in there that much. I think it's Trent Williams, man.
Yeah. It's none of the quarterbacks. It can't be right now.
Can't be. Can't be a running back. They're just not in there enough.
Right. Raheem Mostert's still the 49ers leader in rushing yards and played only four games and didn't finish all those either.
God, he looks so good when he plays. I just wish he could stay healthy.
Yeah, nearly 6 yards per carry. 5.9 yards per carry for Raheem Mostert.
It's just a different speed when he's running
football. It's crazy, man. It is different. Yeah, he's a different dude. I would say Juice would be a runner-up, but it's hard not to... Yeah, it's...
Maybe my boy Lakin Tomlinson. I haven't heard any penalties come from him. He's been in there every game. He's played every snap, right?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're just looking for healthy players that have played a lot for the team, and when they're out, it's a huge drop, and that's the big thing with Trent Williams. His best argument was last week.
Yeah, exactly. Look what happens when I'm not in there. Pay me.
I'm trying to think. There's got to be someone else that we're missing. Like George Kittle would be in there, but he's missed so much time.
Debo missed so much time when he's in there. You see what he can do.
I think Kittle might have played enough even in the first half of the season where you would still have to consider him offensive player of the year, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Because of the impact he brings, even when he's not putting big numbers receiving up.
You're not wrong. I mean, McKinnon's been the healthiest of the running backs, too. I mean, he's been important to this football team, but I don't know. It's tough.
I'm checking Pro Football Focus right now to look at who's had the best grade so far from the first half of the season. And not surprisingly, Trent Williams 1, Raheem Mostert 2.
Okay. There you go.
George Kittle's in the top 5.
As he should be.
Yes. How about this for Mike McGlinchey? Stark contrast. He's got a 90.1 elite run block grade and a 62.8, which is a pretty average to below average pass block grade.
That is a great run block grade, though. Keep running to the right.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've seen from Mike McGlinchey. He's been really good. He's been out in front on a lot of the 49ers' biggest runs out there to the right side. But
that's why he's not a left tackle.
Exactly. I mean, he's...
Can't protect in the passing game. You can't protect the blind side.
A Lakin Tomlinson 8, though. Second, third highest rated offensive line.
Okay.
More Weeky Wednesday coming up, looking at these questions. Nothing about shoes or fashion, so I don't know if we should even hit any of these. We'll finish up the midseason awards, maybe have time to hit some of your mailbag questions next. You want a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar? Well, Build Bar is for you. They are delicious, dipped in 100% wonderful chocolate, and there's so many different times that is great for Build Bar, before or after workouts. High protein, high fiber, low in sugar, low in calories, or for a long drive. That's the latest way I've utilized a Built Bar. Throw a Built Bar in your car. You don't have to stop for some fast food joint, knock out 1,000 calories. Grab yourself a Built Bar instead. So great for the health conscious folks out there. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And Built Bars are low in calorie. Built Bars are low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. Even great for a keto diet. A ton of flavors. The 12 original flavors, 6 brand new flavors. The new cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and 4 grams of sugar. My favorite, even more protein in the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, and only 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Looking at the defensive side of these Pro Football Focus grades for the first half of the season, or 9 weeks of the season, Nick Bosa, small sample, still leading in overall grades for the season. Fred Warner is just right behind him, barely by a fraction of points.
So I think if we were going to do most missed award right now, it's got to be Bosa, right?
Right. If we're using the Trent Williams scale on by what the 49ers are missing, right, then Nick Bosa has proven how valuable he is.
Yeah, Eric Armstead will tell you that right now.
Oh, wow. Eric Armstead, he went from playing. How nice is that? You get to kind of squeeze inside. No one's really looking your way because you've got DeForest Buckner here on this side. You got Dee Ford way over there. You got Nick Bosa. Nobody cares where you're lining up, right? And all of a sudden now you're, first of all, out of position, in my opinion, on third downs, rushing full time from the outside. I think he benefits from playing inside. That's where he should be playing more. So that's one of the other things about what has gone on personnel wise for the 49ers is not only has he been expected to do so much, now he's playing 100% outside when he was 50-50 last year. And I thought that should have skewed more toward inside instead of now being all the way outside.
Yeah, you're really seeing that he is not that bendy speed rush guy from the outside. Like, it just, I can't tell you how many times this season, third down, you need to stop, 4 guys rushing, no pressure at all, step up, first down. Like, it's just over and over and over. It's super hard to watch.
I think this could segue into our comeback player of the year award. And for me, a lot of the awards, and I think someone who has to be in the conversation for defensive player of the year after Fred Warner is Jason Verrett, a corner.
Yeah, I have him as my comeback as well. I mean, talk about a guy who's just been plagued with injury his entire career, and he's got the talent, just doesn't have the ability to be on the field. And he's been out there this year, and he's looked really good. And he's been a bit of a savior for that secondary because they've gone through so many guys. Witherspoon injured. Sherman may finally be coming back soon. He's been out since week one. Mosey's been in and out of the lineup. And it's like you got this one guy who's had nothing but injury problems his whole career playing almost every single snap for you for the 49ers and Jason Verrett. It's been really nice to see.
Absolutely. How about rookies of the year, offense and defense? I mean, it's pretty easy for offensive rookie of the year, right?
Yeah, it's Ayuk, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who is quickly becoming the number one receiver in this offense.
And we haven't seen Colton McKivitz at all.
No.
Jermichael Hasty is making a little bit of a name for himself to be at least a rotational running back for the 49ers. I thought he should have started last week. Charlie Warner has not played well, the 6th-round tight end, in some very limited time that he's played.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really nobody else to consider as an offensive rookie of the year there. So that one's pretty easily walking away. Brandon Ayuk's award, defensive side of the ball, there's really no rookies playing on defense except for Javon Kinlaw, so it has to go there. So the rookie of the year awards are pretty much no contest. The first rounders are going to take those by default in some cases, and I actually want to see a lot more from both of them, especially Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah, Kinlaw's been good. He's been he's played a ton of snaps too. You know, talk about a guy who's in there. He's got some big shoes to fill. You know, you're coming in for DeForest Buckner, a guy who spent, 4 or 5 seasons there, plugging up the middle and just being the man on that defensive line for many years. And he's looked good. You know, he's got some growth to do. I think he'll look a whole lot better when you got Nick Bosa alongside you or you know, going on the outside and really wreaking havoc on offenses. But, yeah, you got to like what you see on both sides of the ball from at least those two guys. And so those are some good draft picks. And there's been some misses in the draft pick department by this front office. So it's nice to see him actually hit on a couple of first-round picks there. How about – for me, I think since we're talking about the defensive line, an award I want to give out is like my surprise player of the year. And I think it's been Kerry Hyder, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy that's no one expected him to play on this football team, and he's in there, and I think he's leading the team in sacks, right?
That's a really good one. And I think Jason Verrett should probably be one of those surprise players too. He played, what, 2 snaps last year, and a lot of people weren't sure if he was going to have an NFL career with the way he's playing right now. And he's been the best player in the secondary this year. Kerry Hyder has been that probably for the defensive line. He's been as good as Armstead. I don't want to say he's been better than Armstead necessarily, but he's been more impactful than just about everybody else aside from Armstead on the defensive line. DJ Jones is a very different player and is impactful in his own right. So I would probably throw DJ Jones as an underrated, sort of under the radar guy on defense as well. But that's a good one with Kerry Hyder. Like the way he plays. I mean, he's just nonstop.
Me too. He's nonstop, and he's always in there disrupting. You know, he's always when you see, you know, 2 guys in on a sack, one of them's usually Hyder. Or in there on a lost tackle, or somebody disrupts the run game, it's usually Hyder. And I'm a fan of his game. I like it. He was a good pickup.
I'm going to throw another name in there on the defensive line, Kevin Givens. I've liked what I've seen from him out of some snaps. And in I think in a lot of ways, and I think he's eating into a little bit of some playing time there for Javon Kinlaw. I think he's outplayed Kinlaw. And Kinlaw, Pro Football Focus does not like him at all. He hasn't really... Early on, there was a lot of pressures from him, and that has sort of waned, and he still doesn't have his first career sack. So there's a lot that could happen, even though there's been flashes, and the talent is undeniable there with Javon Kinlaw. He's hit a little bit of a plateau in his season, and at the same time, Kevin Givens has sort of come on, and I've liked what I've seen from Kevin Givens. Like, not a super impact player, but given some quality interior defensive line snaps.
Which you need. You know, you need guys that can rotate in
need
and
depth,
out, keep guys fresh. And yeah, no, I'm with you. I think he's played well.
By the way, you know who's had a top five defensive grade for the 49ers according to Pro Football Focus?
Jimmy Ward.
Jordan Willis, one of the newest players. Two games, he's got a 75.6 grade, which puts
he's
him tied for fifth. It ties him actually with Eric Armstead. Yeah, he's even gotten in there and got a sack. Maybe this is the right scheme for Jordan Willis. Maybe a boost to his career down the stretch.
And obviously the Ward was a joke because of how much we ragged on him a few weeks ago with his 89 out of 90 rank on Pro Football Focus. I'm sure that's gone up since then.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that was pretty funny to see. How about a coach? Do you have like a coach of the year or you know, somebody who's really done well despite everything that's happened?
I would say the guy who's had the toughest job and seen the way they're playing, I'll give that award to Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach for the 49ers. And
that's good.
I think there's a few coaches that deserve some consideration. I'll let you give yours, and then I'll talk about some other coaches that should be in the conversation.
Similar to what you're talking about, I think Bobby Turner, right? I mean,
yes, exactly.
Just keeps having to go to a new guy. You know, is calling up practice squad running backs, and they're doing extremely well too. And it's just like, it doesn't matter who's in there for the 49ers right now, running back, like somebody's in there and they're going to be averaging right around 4 yards a carry and really moving this offense. And, you know, and obviously Robert Saleh too. I mean, you talk about a guy who's had to overcome a lot of adversity. Like he's lost guys at almost every single position, you know, all throughout the year. And so what he's doing, it was easy last year when you had this amazing defense and everybody was healthy and they were constantly disrupting the quarterback, but it talks a lot about a guy when you're down. How do you play when you're out without your guys? How do you play? What's your depth like? How can you cover for guys? I mean, he's had a few rough spots. You know, when your fifth string cornerback's in there, you don't help him out with a guy over the top and he gets burnt a few times. Is that on Saleh? Is that on the DB's coach? You know, it's tough. These guys have had to go through a lot. The three guys we named, I'm sure you have another one or two.
Well, you named him. Bobby Turner was one that I think absolutely deserves credit, and he's someone who always deserves a lot of credit on the 49ers, and he's instrumental in finding those undrafted gem running backs as well. So Bobby Turner definitely, and Robert Saleh, and that's why I went sort of a little bit under the radar with the defensive line coach in Kocurek, but Robert Saleh has done a pretty good job. I would have liked to see, especially the last 2 weeks, the one thing I will say criticism-wise for Robert Saleh is not changing up his scheme on defense enough to sort of not basically the Seahawks and the Packers both went into the huddle, get the play call and line up knowing exactly where the corners were going to be. And it allows them to target who they want and do what they want. I think if he was to move guys around a little bit more, show some different coverages on the back end, just do something to make it so it's a more difficult read for the offense and them not know exactly where guys are going to be lined up. And unfortunately, and Crocker talked about this on Monday's episode, it's like, look, tough for Emmanuel Mosley because those two games he was targeted a lot, but what two receivers in the league would you want to line up against least right now? It might be DK Metcalf and Davante Adams. So I think Mosley is playing a lot better than those two games look as far as the box score.
Yeah, and you said it, you know, like, if there's going to be two quarterbacks in this league that you probably shouldn't just keep running the same defense out there against, it's Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, like the two front runners or two of the top three, at least in the NFL right now for MVP. So that probably wasn't your best idea there, Saleh.
All right, we got to wrap this up. My final award is the most underrated player on the 49ers. I've got a good one. It's a slam dunk for me. Who you got?
I like it. I think you mentioned him earlier as possibly an offensive MVP. I think it's Juszczyk. I think it's a guy that, again, has played every single game this year. He's been in there most snaps. He is the blocker. He's the man. He protects the quarterback. He's leading this this rushing attack that is, you know, top five in the NFL. It's, I, you know me, I'm a fullback guy. And if I can't go with Warner, because I think he'd be number one overall, but I think I'm going to go with Juszczyk.
How do you not have a, do you have a 44 jersey? I mean, we're talking Rathman, we're talking Kyle Juszczyk.
I know, you don't have one, at least no name on it, like just San Francisco and 44.
Yeah. And hopefully there's another 44 after Juszczyk that's worthy of wearing it. We got to get Wink a 44 jersey, at least.
Yeah, I like it.
Absolutely. I think that's a good one. That's absolutely a good one there. On the defensive side of the ball, I named a few guys. DJ Jones doing the dirty work at nose tackle. But it's Richie James. Richie James is my dude. Underutilized, underrated. Yeah. Finally, he blew up. I was tagged so much on Twitter after the game had last week. And that was a lot of fun. And look, I don't expect him to do it again because he's going to have too many players in front of him on the depth chart. But he proved me right that he belongs and that he can make plays when he gets the opportunity. So I'd love to see some more opportunity for Richie James. And maybe he proved that to Kyle Shanahan. And we'll get some more opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Anybody who watches football knows that he should be out there instead of Kendrick Bourne. He should be out there instead of Trent Taylor, right? I mean, that just seems obvious.
No doubt. And look,
come on, Shanahan.
And I play it up. Like, I don't think he's the best player on the 49ers or the best player in the league. I just think he should have a role. That's it.
He's an explosive player. He's got good hands. He showed that he can make plays. You need guys right now that can make plays. Trent Taylor looks like he's got a piano on his back. And Kendrick Bourne, you know, he looks like an average football player. Like, get the electric guy in there.
Good stuff, Nick. We're out of time here. That was fun. Apologies we didn't get to any of the questions out there because Nick and I are pretty long-winded, as always, and I think you probably knew that going in when you clicked on this podcast this morning or whatever it was when you listened to it. But always appreciate everybody listening, and Nick, I always appreciate you.
I appreciate you too as well, buddy.
Happy 5th anniversary.
Aw, thanks. Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
801.
801. Actual retail price. 810.
I broke that mic. I broke the microphone. They switched it during the commercial break.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
You broke their equipment. Oh, that's amazing.
I don't know if I actually broke it or if they just switched it because I was going to do the other stuff, but they switched that microphone during the commercial break.
It was too hot. They're like, hey, this mic's a little too hot for this guy. Yeah, he's got some serious pipes.
This guy. This guy doesn't actually take the mic off completely.
I had forgotten when you put the photo on Twitter today. It shows Lori on the side. She rolled 90 cents. You had to roll a 95 to get on.
Yeah, she hated me. Afterwards, she was like, you, and, like, shook her fist at me. Like, oh. Lori was not a fan of mine.
Oh, man, good stuff. That was fun. Hopefully someday we'll get it back up online so people can watch it.
Yeah, I'll do it again soon. I'll make sure everybody knows about it.
All right, cool. Good stuff, Nick. Tomorrow, a Thursday crossover with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints right here. Locked On 49ers.
See you.